part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
And welcome to another Reg Eye and Rota podcast powered by MGM Northfield Park right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. Shout out to our fantabulous producer, the man, the myth, the legend, the one who makes it all go smoothly so you out there in the podcastosphere can hear us. Ty Courts, Ty, thanks to you for everything that you do. We appreciate you more than you know. And Reg, we've been off for a couple of weeks. We're back in the saddle again, and a lot to get to today, from the fledgling Cavaliers to March Madness, men and women, and Shane Bieber done for the year. And has he pitched his last game for the Cleveland Guardians? We're going to get into all of that today here, Reg. My goodness, there's a cornucopia, as our late great friend Kendall Lewis used to say, of things to talk about.
Yeah, our plates are full, Roadman. So let's go. Let's not waste any time. Let's get this baby rolling.
All right, let's do it here. We're going to get to the March Madness, men and women here in our second segment, because I covered the women the entire week in Cleveland, was at the national championship game today where South Carolina beat Caitlin Clark and Iowa. We'll get to that here in a second. But because I was there, Reg, I did not see the Cleveland Cavaliers blow a 21-point halftime lead on the road against the Clippers today and fall. You ready to this, Reg? Fall all the way to fifth place in the Eastern Conference standings by doing so. Tell me what you saw today with that Clippers game, because I'm curious. I thought they were going to run away with it when I saw the score on my phone.
This basketball team has got a whole hell of a lot to get squared away, Ken. Kenny, they're not anywhere. It got as high as 26.
Ooh, man.
26, my man, in the third quarter. Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty damn difficult. You got a lot of people go bad, a lot of coaching things go wrong to blow a 26-point lead.
Wow.
And that's exactly what they did today. Terrible loss. And Ken, listen, they could wind up five. Hell, they could wind up six. In the seeding here in the Eastern Conference. Right now, at the moment, they're going to face off with the Indiana Pacers. But, Kenny, I mean, they could play any one of Miami, the yeah. New York Knicks, the whom else?
Well, Reg, check this out.
Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I'm looking at the standings right now, and yeah. Some scores just went final, okay? So there are some scores that went final. So the current standings in the NBA's Eastern Conference are this. Boston won. Milwaukee lost to New York today. They're still two by only a game, though, over Orlando, who is now three. New York is now four. The Cavaliers have fallen to five. Indiana is six. So the Cavaliers are only one game out of falling to the sixth and final playoff spot with three games remaining. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, so there's nothing good about this at all. They're playing their worst basketball at the most inopportune time of this year, right? And they got three home games to go. And whether they win or not, they're to get into the playoffs. And Kenny, look, they're not going into the playoffs at a real good stead right now. Yeah. I'm not, even if they win these three, Ken,
right?
And say wind up three, I see a strong potential of another first round ouster, Kenny.
Yeah, I'm with you, Reg. I've been pointing this out on the Kenny and JT show on WHBC, selfless plug right here, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, WHBC.com. You can listen live. And ever since the All-Star break, they've been awful. And unfortunately, over the last 3 years, Reg, they are under .500 under J.B. Bickerstaff. in the second half of the season since the All-Star break. And that's not a good way to go into the postseason, whether it's play-in tournament or playoffs. And this year, they're even worse as they finish this trip. Let's see, lost at Denver, right?
Yep.
They beat Utah, lost at Phoenix,
yeah,
lost at the Lakers, and now lost at the Clippers.
Utah's the only one they won.
Yeah, 1-4.
Maybe next to the Detroit Pistons, the worst team in the NBA. Whew. That's the one they managed to win.
Yeah.
Every other one, they took the L. And like I said, I mean, I don't know if you can put this on a couple of players, J.B. Bickerstaff. I don't know if Bickerstaff is the right guy for this team or any team, quite honestly. But that's what it is right now. And how are they going to find a way in this final week to get you, me, fans to feel like they got a chance to, win a round.
Yeah.
At this point, Kenny, I think we'd have to look at it as a solid if they won the first damn round, but I just can't see it. You're looking at having to, I don't like them against any of these potential matchups,
right.
Any of them.
Reg, it's disappointing because they go 18-1 over a stretch. They peaked too soon, obviously. They haven't figured it out yet how to play everybody together. Donovan Mitchell did not, and that's the thing. He's got a bum knee, Reg. Yeah, he broke his nose and everything, got hit by friendly fire from Tristan Thompson, but the knee is the bigger problem, and they rested him today as they're trying to manage it for the postseason, and he has not looked the same. Reg, I noticed it at the All-Star game.
Right.
He didn't have that hop, that jump, that energy at the All-Star game, and supposedly he was sick. Well, I don't know if he was sick, if it was the knee, if it was both, and then he comes back maybe too soon, then gets his nose busted up, and then the knee hurt. So they need a healthy Donovan Mitchell going into the playoffs to win, in my opinion, and guess what? There's no way he's going to be 100% healthy in the playoffs because only rest will heal what he has right now, and they can't rest him every day.
Now, that's right. Exactly right. And listen, you know, I've said this many times before. You and I have discussed it here on the Reggae and Rota podcast. You are not going to win in this NBA with a pair of 6'1" guards as your two top players.
Yeah.
Now, you can argue that with me all you want, and you're going to have to show me. And when I say win, I mean capabilities of at least being a contender, okay? A contender. No, you're not going to win a championship every year. Now you're not even going to play for a championship every year. But until you could prove to me that this team with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland as your two best players are contenders, I can't buy that. I'm sorry. I can't buy it. I can't see it. And yes, they got off to the great start, certainly. But Kenny, I think you and I know we're starting to see it already. Basketball, the NBA in November and December, hell, in January and February, is a whole lot different than it is in April and May.
Yep.
Right? A whole lot different. And this team, you know, and yes, I like both Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, but Kenny, they're both soft bigs.
Yep.
They're both soft bigs. They're skilled. Yeah. There are nights when they look like they could take over a game. But you and I know when, like we said, at this time of the year, when push comes to shove, you're playing with a pair of soft bigs and 2 6'1" guards. You're right. Not going to win a championship that way, period. I've tried to, you know what, not really, but I've tried to say, well, you know, if this maybe, hell, you can't, oh, we got to get the right matchups. I don't like him in any matchup right now against the team. Could be the Magic, right? Could be the Knicks. Could be the Pacers. Could be the Heat. Most probably those four. I don't like him in anyone. We saw the Knicks thing last year, Kenny.
Yeah.
And I just watched the Knicks again tonight, just use their toughness to take down Milwaukee on the road. Listen, I'd like to be more optimistic. I really would, but if I'm being honest, I can't. This basketball team is too flawed, and it's going to have to be taken apart, Ken, at the end of this season. It might mean a head coaching change, but I think you're going to have to get a different roster in here. Just bottom line, you have to get a different roster in here, because this one being led by, I said, is the four guys who, you know, we just mentioned, the pair of 6'1" guards and the two soft bigs. It's not going to take you deep in the playoffs. It's just not.
What's the line in Animal House, Reg? Fat, drunken, stupid is no way to go through life, right? Well,
yeah.
Flawed, fragile, and soft is no way to win in the postseason in the NBA. It's just not.
No.
And that's what the Cavaliers are. They're flawed in many ways. They are fragile. Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, and they're extremely soft outside of Donovan Mitchell and maybe Marcus Morris, but he's just a role player. So, yeah, I'm with you, Reg. This is not looking good. They are limping into the playoffs, and what looked to be maybe the third seed with home court advantage might be their fifth or sixth seed on the road in the first round of the playoffs. And if that's the case, you can stick a fork in them, because I'm with you. The way they're playing right now, I can't see them beating anybody.
Yeah. Well, and even if they are fortunate enough to get over this last week of basketball, I don't even with the three seed and the home court, Ken, I don't feel good about it. Because, again, right now I just went through the four teams they're probably going to play, and I don't like the matchups with any one of them.
Well, let's see if Donovan Mitchell plays any of these last three games against Memphis, Indiana, or Charlotte at home, or do they just completely rest him and rely on everybody else to try and win two out of those three or all three and see where that falls and get him as much rest as possible, and then go from there, Red. And that's all they can do right now. He can't add anybody else, right? Hey, it's too late.
Right.
This is the roster that they're taking into the playoffs, whether you like it or not.
That's exactly right. So there's nothing that is going to be added that as a contributing factor that's going to put them in a better place. So this is it. This is what you got, and we've known that. And look, I don't feel good about it. I don't think that they're – I think they're going out in the first round again, depending on matchup.
Very well could be, Reg. Very well could be. And that wouldn't shock me in any way, shape, or form based on what they've done here in this second half. Hey, before we get to a break, I want to remind everybody about MGM Northfield Park. How about this? Doors open every day at noon for simulcast racing at Northfield Park, and they have live racing every Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Post time is set for 6 p.m. Guests can enjoy a free pair of glasses to watch the solar eclipse with everybody at Northfield Park on Monday, April 8th. And don't forget Saturday, April 13th, last day of the Road to the Derby contest. Registration is from noon to 2 p.m. Weekly $500 prizes. And also on Saturday, April 13th, they've got the Ohio Lottery Putting Challenge, as guests will be able to putt for a chance to win Ohio Lottery instant win tickets. Registration for that putting contest, 5:30 to 6:30. And then if you want to head out on Sunday, April 14th, they have the Sunday Handicapping Contest featuring Gulfstream Park. Registration for that begins at 11 a.m. and weekly $900 worth of prizes. And just put it on your calendar just in case, Sunday, April 21st, finals for the Sunday Handicapping Contest. All of this happening at MGM Northfield Park. Tell them Reg I and Rhoda sent you. We'll get a break in right now. When we come back, Michael, we shift from the NBA to college basketball. I was at the Women's Final Four in Cleveland. It is over. There is a newly crowned champion in women's basketball, and we're going to get Michael's thoughts on whether or not it will be Purdue or UConn cutting down the nets for the men.
What's up, everyone? I'm Holly Wetzel.
And I'm Tyrus Powell.
And we are your hosts of The Orange is Oranger, a Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. We give you all the dog pound coverage that you'll need to get you through the regular season, hopeful postseason, and I'd say off-season, Tyvus, but is there really ever an off-season for this team?
Thankfully for our podcast, Holly, there really never is when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Don't miss our breakdown of each week's matchup, game recaps, and any and all news out of Berea to feed your Browns appetite. As we know, Holly, dogs gotta eat.
Yes, they do. So hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode of the Orange is Oranger, Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Hey, the Roadman Kenny Rota here from the R&R Podcast. If you've been in an accident recently and your car needs a little TLC, look no further than Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body. Safe, reliable collision repairs are their business. They're a locally family-run and veteran-owned business serving Newark, Zanesville, and surrounding areas, and they work with all insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. Plus, ask about their special discounts for U.S. military veterans. You can visit them today at autobodyofnewark.com and autobodyofzanesville.com, or you can get more information by simply calling them at 740-899-4111 and tell them Reg I and Rota sent you. And welcome back to the Reg I and Rota podcast powered by MGM Northfield Park here on the Press Play Podcast Network. And Michael, I love this time of the year. You and I, man, we had so much fun back in the day when we were working at KNR and we were doing the games on the radio, and then you were doing the MAC tournament on TV, the finals. And then that led, of course, to hopefully one of the MAC teams making a nice long run into the NCAA tournament. And here we are, the men's championship game on Monday night, tomorrow night, as we're taping this on Sunday. And Reg, I spent the last, let's see, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days in downtown Cleveland for the women's Final Four. And I'll tell you what, Reg, it was a hell of an atmosphere in downtown Cleveland inside Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse as the Caitlin Clark effect was in full swing. And even though she lost today to South Carolina, who was just the better team coached by Dawn Staley, there were people in the stands, the TV viewers, record attendance throughout the year. She's handled the media as well as LeBron did coming out of high school and into the NBA and through his career, and she's backed it up on the floor, Reg. I think she finishes with 3,951 points in 4 years at Iowa, the all-time leading scorer, men or women. And yeah, they lost in the title game last year and this year. It was LSU last year and South Carolina today. Final score today, by the way, was, let's see here. Where was it? I thought I brought my it was 87-75. It was a 12-point game, Reg. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I know she lost, but Reg, that she's got range. She can handle the rock. She had over 1,000 assists, almost 1,000 rebounds. That's just one hell of a career for Caitlin Clark at Iowa, putting them back on the map.
Complete trendsetter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely has changed the game. Changed the game forever on the women's side. And there are many components of what she does. Forget about men, women. It's just basketball beauty.
Right.
Forget about the sex thing or, you know, dividing it up into sexes. Caitlin Clark and the way she plays. And what I like about her, Kenny, is, I believe that, well sure, she's the one that's taking the majority of the shots. But I feel in watching her play, I get your opinion on this from being there.
All right.
It seems like she's has a real good feel with her teammates and incorporates them and their abilities to the best side of them being able to win. And we know sometimes in the game that when you have one player on a team that obviously is a standout player and is so dominant, Ken, that's difficult to do, right, for that player.
Reg, you know what it reminded me of in watching her play? And I don't mean any disrespect, none whatsoever, to the other players on her roster, okay? But she has elevated their level of play to making them better than they would be if she wasn't on the team, okay?
Right.
It reminds me of the 07 Cavaliers. Remember that when you and
I covered? Of course I do.
them against the Spurs, and LeBron took arguably one of the worst rosters to the NBA Finals, and the Spurs swept them in four. That's what this reminded me of in watching her play and making, you know, her big better than she was, her off guard better than she was. And she tried to do it. She got him to the championship game 2 years in a row, put up 30 today, 18 in the first quarter. And then Dawn Staley said, all right, that's enough of that. And they locked her down, and she only scored 12 the rest of the way, but didn't get enough help. But it was impressive that she was able to take an Iowa team 2 years in a row with average talent to the championship game. And come up short, to LSU and South Carolina. But that's a hell of an effort right there. That's something she should be proud of.
Okay, so, and this is what I wanted to get out of you. In your mind's eye, she's not playing with a lot alongside her. You think this is just a kind of, you know, a decent Iowa squad, but nothing real special to play alongside her?
Reg, I don't believe anybody else on that roster will play in the WNBA.
Okay.
All right. Maybe overseas. The Martin girl, maybe overseas. That's it. But nobody else is playing in the WNBA. And whereas when you look at what Dawn Staley, I mean, she lost her entire run. How about this? Last year, it was Caitlin Clark who upset Dawn Staley's South Carolina Gamecocks in the Final Four to end their perfect season last year. And so as they were calling it the revenge tour for South Carolina, that they wanted to play Iowa this year in the championship game and get sweet revenge, and they did it, okay? But Dawn Staley is putting girls into the league on a yearly basis. Caitlin Clark will be the only one from this roster of Iowa's team to go play in the WNBA. I think the Indiana Fever have the number one overall pick. Uh-huh. And that's on April 15th, I think, is when the WNBA draft is. So I expect Caitlin Clark to be the number one pick by the Indiana Fever, and nobody else from her roster getting drafted, at least, into the WNBA.
Ken, what components of her game to you make her so very unique and special and make her stand out?
Number one, the range. She's the female version of Steph Curry, right? Not as accurate as Steph, but she can launch it from just over half court. Maybe not the highest percentage of shots at times, but for what her team needs, it works. But the other thing that stands out, Reg, is her court vision. And there were times in both games, the Final Four game where they beat Gino Auriemma's UConn Huskies 71-69, questionable offensive foul call at the end of the game. I thought it was the right call. But in both games, she made passes on the fast break, Reg, to lead her teammates to a layup opportunity. And sometimes they finished, sometimes they didn't, right? Again, that goes back to not being WNBA caliber.
Right.
But
yeah,
she treated them as if they were. And they were the open players, so she made the right basketball play. And that stood out to me as well. The biggest weakness of her game, Reg, twofold. She doesn't play much defense whatsoever. That's going to have to change at the WNBA level. And she's got to get stronger. Because I watched a little bit of the Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird broadcast.
Yeah.
And I also saw Diana on SVP, Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. And Scotty said, well, some of these girls are going to be coming to the WNBA, and they're going to find out it's going to be a little different. And Diana Taurasi said, yeah, reality is going to set in. In other words, it's going to get real physical. But what has helped Caitlin, I think, is they beat the hell out of her, with UConn and their defender, and then they did it again today. So she's been seeing that on a regular basis, getting the other team's best defender or defenders like Dawn Staley did today, throwing a bunch of bodies at her, and she's been able to withstand it physically. So I can't remember her missing games because of injury. Now, I haven't followed it as closely all 4 years as I have the last two, but she's come through with flying colors, Reg, and I think it may take her a couple of years like it did Sabrina Ionescu, right, and some of the other girls in the WNBA, But she's going to continue, I think, to be one of the faces of the WNBA and a hell of a player.
No, that's great to hear, because it's going to be a real intriguing follow, right?
Yep.
If nothing else, to see how this game of hers that has been so phenomenally offensively gifted in the college sphere.
Right.
As you, how this is going to translate now when, these women professional players are going to be coming after her and coming after her hard. And, I think you raise a couple of real good points. So it's going to be, certainly interesting to keep an eye on it.
Hey, Reg, and the big girl from South Carolina, Camila Cardoso.
How about her?
15 points, 17 rebounds today. I don't know how many block shots. 6'7". And yes. Reg, and I love it when I see this. It's fundamental basketball for the – it's all about the bigs, Reg, guys. I don't care if it's the men's or the women's. It's all about the bigs, as Coach Luke would say. She's a rim runner, Reg. She runs to the front of the rim at one end, to the front of the rim at the other end. Well coached by Dawn Staley, and is a rebounding machine and a force inside. Needs to get a little bit quicker for the WNBA game, but sick, you can't teach 6'7", no. Right? She's got a little size to her, if you know what I mean. And so, she's going to be a player that goes probably second after, I would think, Caitlin Clark in the draft. Now, Paige Beckers is coming back for another year at UConn, and she can ball too.
Oh, boy, yeah.
You know, Juju Watkins at USC, I don't know if she's coming out or not, but she almost scored 1,000 points, I think, in her freshman year at USC. And Angel Reese, the girl who won the national championship last year with LSU, is going to be a top four pick this year in the draft as well. So a lot of good faces for the WNBA to have coming into their league.
I think Juju Watkins might be the best of the bunch. I've really enjoyed watching her play at USC, and just looks like she's got that extra gear that the pro game is going to really gravitate toward, Ken.
Yeah, and I expect Paige Beckers to be even better next year. She was coming off the ACL tear, and she played the entire season this year. But now that she's done that, and in her mind, she doesn't have to worry about her knee, I think she's going to be this year it was Caitlin. Last year it was Caitlin as the AP Player of the Year. Next year, I think it's going to be between Juju, if she stays, and Paige Beckers for sure at UConn. So it was a lot of fun, Rich. I had a blast covering it. Cleveland did a great job. The MAC did a great job as they were the host of this at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And I enjoyed my time and enjoyed watching Caitlin Clark play. And how about this little side note? Got to meet one of my favorite Saturday Night Live alums, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso, in the building today.
Yeah.
And I hit him, Reg. You ready for this? He was getting ready to take his seat. And I don't like to bother him too much, but I saw him and I knew I'd get a reaction out of him, right? I didn't go Ted Lasso with him, okay?
Okay.
I went Judge Boudreaux from Maine Justice. That's what I said to him. He stopped in his tracks, Reg, looked at me. He said, "That's a deep cut, brother." He said, "If you and I grew up together, we'd be best friends if you like Maine Justice." And I said, "It's sweet. The best skit ever, man."
That's sweet. Very just nice.
Just a cool dude, man. So it was fun. Jalen Hurts was in town this week of the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw him. Rebecca Lobo was doing the game, either TV or radio, one of the UConn greats. We mentioned Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, two of the greatest female players. Cheryl Miller was in town. Robin Roberts was there. I mean, a lot. Hootie, Darius Rucker was in town, of course, the South Carolina Gamecock himself.
Uh-huh.
So Cleveland showed up and showed out, and it was a lot of fun. So a tip of the cap to everybody involved with the women's Final Four.
Kenny, let me ask you one thing quickly. Yep. Interested to get your thoughts about all of the young girls and with stars in their eyes, and yet having this, this great thrill of being able to be a part of it. Did you sense that the game now with the young girls and so many of them now want to be able to try to emulate these great college stars and maybe become players like those that they were able to see this weekend?
Absolutely, Rich. 100%. Caitlin Clark talked about her idol, Maya Moore, from UConn. She got to meet Maya this year. And Maya was honored as one of the Hall of Famers this weekend in Cleveland. And I think as Caitlin Clark looked up to Maya Moore, that's the way these girls are going to look up to Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, right? And Juju Watkins. And yeah, absolutely. But I found it interesting. I asked Gino this question after their loss to Iowa the other night. Gino Auriemma, the legendary coach for the UConn women, 11 titles, right? I said, can Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark do for the WNBA what Bird and Magic did for the NBA, right? Because that was the hype, right? It was those two, and you got the matchup you wanted in the semifinals with Beckers against Caitlin Clark. He said, I think they can, but he kind of took a shot at the WNBA and said, the WNBA doesn't do a good job of marketing their players or marketing the game. And I agree with them 100%. I think they need to do a better job. And hopefully with the notoriety that Caitlin Clark will bring, along with an Angel Reese, those are two of the highest paid NIL athletes, men or women, in college sports this year, right?
Yeah.
Those two moving to the WNBA, I hope they're able to market them as well as Camilla Cardoso, and when Paige Beckers and Juju come out as well. Let's hope they can, because there were a lot of wide-eyed girls looking at Caitlin Clark and just to get a picture or a wave or something or meet her. Yeah, she and like I said, Red, she did a fabulous job with the interviews, the media that followed her around everywhere, and then also meeting the girls that idolized her and everything like that, and then went out and balled out on the court as well. So, like I said, great job by Cleveland with the women's Final Four. And that leads us, Reg, to the men's Final Four, your teams that moved on for the national championship. We're taping this on a Sunday night. On Monday night, it'll be Purdue, a number one seed, against UConn, a number one seed, and the defending champions. Reg, your thoughts on that head-to-head matchup for this year's title?
I hope it's the epic that we went into back in November. I think the majority of those that follow the game would tell you, out of two top teams in any particular order you like in the men's game are UConn and Purdue, Purdue and UConn. And here's what we have in a national championship game, Kenny. And I just hope that that it lives up to the billing. I think it's going to. I certainly, like I said, it'll be phenomenal for the game if it is. That having been said, give me Danny Hurley and his UConn Huskies to take down Purdue tomorrow night, Ken. I just think, you know, the amount of skill and talent on that team, Kenny. I mean, Tristan Newton, 15-6. Cam Spencer, 14-5 points and rebounds. Alex Karaman, 13-5. Donovan Klingon, 7'2", 13-7, who you know is going to deal with as Zach Edey. So, Kenny, I just think that overall, UConn is the superior team. Would it shock me if Purdue wins? No, not at all. But I do favor UConn. How about you?
Reg, I bet a futures bet at the beginning of the season on UConn repeating.
Yeah.
And I after watching them in what looked to be a close game the other day, right?
Yeah.
Against Alabama, a very good Alabama team that was athletic and spread the floor and challenged them. And, man, they just rose to the occasion, whether it was inside or outside, timeout. They call them ATOs, right? After timeout plays. Mm-hmm. Every time Hurley called a timeout and they had the ball and they came out of that time, they got a layup or they got a three. It was a thing of beauty, man. And I'm with you. Can Purdue beat them? Yes. They've been beaten this year. But In order to do so, Edie's going to have a huge double-double, and they're going to have to shoot lights out from three-point range because I think Hurley and the Huskies are going to find a way to make it back-to-back championships, and they're fun to watch. You know, going into today's women's game, South Carolina was the better team, and I think it was 10-0 right out of the gate for Iowa.
Right.
And South Carolina didn't panic, just like UConn didn't panic against Alabama when it was a close game and they ended up winning by double digits, just like South Carolina did. So I think UConn wins it unless Purdue plays its absolute best game and is 60% from three-point range. And UConn had a crap game. Well, they were dog crap against Creighton earlier this year. If they have that, then Purdue's got a chance. But I just don't see that happening, Rich.
No, I'm with you on that. Like I said, I went through. I mean, to me, you got five guys who play so very, very well together. Six when you get into the bench, and I think that the way that Danny Hurley coaches them, and what they're all about team wise, you're gonna have to play a game. And I think it's going to take, he's capable of it, but I think, Kenny, you're looking at 30-plus points, 20-plus rebounds from Zach Edey tomorrow night for them to be able to legitimately have a shot of winning this. He's going to have to be phenomenal. Again, is he capable of that? But I think that Donovan Clingan, with that 7'2 size, is going to be able to, don't get me wrong, I'm not render him ineffective. However, put some limitations onto Zach Edey, because Clingan is legit 7'2" and strong. And I don't think Edey has had to deal with that a whole bunch during his Purdue career, Ken. So we'll see how that plays out tomorrow night. But I just believe that UConn has every facet and element of the game necessary to deal with a Zach Edey.
Who's the other big for UConn, Reg, that comes off the bench? They've got, and I'm.
Is it Castle?
No, Castle's one of the guards. I'm trying to pull it up here and find it. They've got another big.
Right, they do.
Spells Clingan and gives him the breather that he needs. Let me see here as I pull up their roster. Is it Singare? Is that it? The 6'10? Is he the backup center? I think
yes,
it is.
That's right. Yep, that's him.
Well, so that's a second body, big body, right, that they can throw at Zach Edey. Most teams don't even have one big body. They've got two that they can throw at Edey and counter.
That's right. So, and again, I just like overall team-wise, I just don't think that Purdue, has all the elements necessary to be able to go in that type of situation in, a national championship game. Again, the two teams that everybody, I believe, thought would play for a title. Again, I like UConn. I like UConn and the way that that Danny Hurley coaches his team.
Yeah, I love the way, he coaches his team. He's passionate. He stands up for his players. He gets on the refs. But then when he needs to be calm and cool, he is, right? And then also, Newton's a hell of a player. And he can go get his whenever he wants to, and they can shoot it from three, although they're not great, right? But they can when they need to be. It's a fun team to watch, Reg. It really is a fun team to watch, and I enjoy when you see great teams play. I can watch them, 10 times in a row just because of how well they're coached. And what they do. And so for me, man, I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, I think it's Johnson, the other forward I was talking about, who had a couple of blocks for the Huskies. So let me correct myself there. And also Caravan. So they've got bigs and they've got shooters and they've got the defending champs, mindset and everything, even though a lot of the guys are new from last year's team. It's going to be, I think, a closer game than most people thought. But I think in the end, UConn's going to find a way to pull away in the end and go back to back.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Cam Spencer and Alex Caravan are their top 3-point shooters. Okay. And those are the two guys, I think. Keep an eye on them tomorrow night because, you know, again, Danny Hurley, he's not afraid to give them a free rein. I mean, I think, you know, that's the beauty of that team. He believes in them all. He lets them all have their airspace.
Yep.
And it's all about, best putting your individual game into what makes them all special as a team. So, I hope Purdue stays and hangs around and makes it a close basketball game. I'd like to see a close one that's not decided inside at least maybe the final 4 minutes. But I like UConn, Kenny, and I think that they'll be cutting down the nets tomorrow night.
All right, Reg, we'll get our final break in here on the Reg Eye and Rota podcast. And when we come back, hey, they're in first place. They're 7-2, the Cleveland Guardians. That's the good news. The bad news, Shane Bieber, done for the season. We'll give you our thoughts on that right after this.
Hey, everybody, it's Sam Amico from Cavs on the Break NBA podcast. Be sure to give us a listen for all your Cleveland Cavaliers recaps, analysis, breakdowns, draft talk, free agency. The list goes on and on. Give us a listen, Cavs on the Break NBA podcast.
Hey, guys, the Roadman Kenny Rota here from the Reg Eye and Rota podcast, and I'm here to help as always, right? Always looking out for you. And what's one of the topics you never want to talk about but you need answers to? Manscaping, right? I don't care how old you are. You want to make everything below the belt trimmed nice and neat. So here's your answer. It's the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra from Manscaped. It features a new cutting edge design and next generational dual skin safe blade heads for different shaves. It's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the moon and back. Hi, holy cow. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. And how about this deal for you? You get 20% off plus free shipping if you go to the website manscaped.com and enter the code RANDRP3. That's RANDRP3. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code RANDRP3 at manscaped.com. There's no better way to take care of your boys than Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. And tell them Reg Eye and Rota sent you and go to manscaped.com now.
Woo. Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
And welcome back as the Reg Eye and Rota podcast continues here on the Press Play Podcast Network, powered by MGM Northfield Park. Head on out there and have a blast. Michael Reg Eye, the Guardians, like we said, great news. 7-2 on the road to start the season. My goodness. Yeah, Oakland sucks, but they beat them like they should, right? Seattle's not much better. They can't score runs. They beat them too. And the Twins, that's the team that's supposed to win the division. Got to rain out today, but coming back 7-2 from that road trip, a nice way to start the season for new manager Stephen Vogt and the boys. But unfortunately, as exciting as that would be to talk about, Reg, it's not the main story. It's Shane Bieber after going 2-0 in two starts this year, 12 scoreless innings, 20 strikeouts, little twinge in that elbow, done for the season, Tommy John surgery, Reg. Do you think he's pitched his last game for the Guardians?
I hate to want to put it to that right now, Ken, but listen, let's be honest about this. It is a distinct possibility that he has.
Yeah.
And what a total just disaster for Shane Bieber, who was off to a tremendous beginning, and for the organization, the guy who was the face of the starting pitching staff, a guy who has proven that he can be your number one. And it's terrible. I mean, it's absolutely awful that this has happened, not only to just Shane Bieber, of course, but also to Stephen Vogt in, his second week as a manager of this baseball team. And, the entire structure of the organization, the fan base, I mean, you name it, can they pick themselves up out of this? And still with 153 games left to play, and that's going to be their missive now, that they're going to have to find a way to do it. And it's probably going to have to be by committee, Kenny. I can't see a guy or even two that's going to take this over. So maybe by committee through the long baseball season, the Guardians will be able to hang in without Shane Bieber being available to them.
The good news is they play in the crappiest division in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah. Minnesota Twins, Detroit Tigers, Kansas City Royals, Chicago White Sox, right? Now, the Tigers off to a good start this year. We'll see if they can maintain that. But that's the crutch that they have to fall back on, right? So that will keep them in the race. As far as Bieber goes, Reg, talking with some people at the Final Four, saying, hey, do you think with this injury, teams might be afraid to give him money, and that might allow the Dolans, who don't like to dole out money, maybe to get him on the cheap and take a chance on him as he gets the Tommy John surgery, 12, 14, 16 months, whatever it is, and then comes back, if not next year, the year after that. Do you think that they're willing to roll the dice on that or no?
I can't see them now giving him the type of contract that they were probably looking at and negotiating with them. It's just too much of a risk, Ken.
Yeah.
You just said it. I mean, it's not necessarily 2025. This could very realistically be 2026 before he'd be back full go. So you're talking about missing two baseball seasons, most probably, or certainly one full and a large portion of 25. So, Ken, it's difficult to, regardless of how you feel about a guy, and it's just, quite frankly, I mean, not good business. So, no, I don't see the Guardians going to great lengths to give him any type of extended contract on good faith. It's hard to see that happening, Ken.
I guess it would come down to how much, right, Reg?
Well, yeah.
Because, I shouldn't say you always hear. Sometimes you hear that, hey, a guy's better after Tommy John surgery. The arm's stronger. So if that's the case, hey, you know who he is as a person. You know when healthy what he can do. Maybe, you hate to say this bad break turns into a good break for you. We'll have to wait and see, right? I have no idea. It's just something guys were asking me at the Final Four today. And I feel bad for Shane Bieber. But, Reg, again, on the Kenny and JT show on WHBC, we did a preview of the team, right?
Yes.
And we said, what are the odds that both Shane Bieber and Tristan McKenzie make it through the season, right?
Yeah.
Based on what happened to both of them last year with shoulder arm problems, whatever it was. And we kind of said, more than likely, one of those two is not going to make it through the entire year, either A, because of injury, or B, if Bieber was healthy and pitching well, they were probably going to trade him. And unfortunately, it happened much sooner rather than later with Shane Bieber, two starts, 12 innings and done for the year and having Tommy John surgery. So we wish him the best and hope that he is able to come back as good, if not better, for whoever he pitches for next in the not too distant future.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And that's pretty much it's the hopes now, the hopes that that everything works out in a favorable light for him and he's able to return to his career.
All right, Reg, we'll see what happens with Shane Bieber, and hopefully he gets back healthy and maybe with the Guardians again. If not, best of luck wherever he ends up in the not-too-distant future. Hey, Reg, last thing before we get out of here on this R&R podcast, I have to go back downtown tomorrow after being down there all week for the Final Four for the Guardians' home opener against the White Sox. Tristan McKenzie going to get the start for the Guards in that game, but before the game is the big story, Michael Regai. So I want to know where you will be to watch the Path of Totality solar eclipse coming to Ohio at around 3:10 p.m. on Monday.
Kenny, I'm going to do my utmost very best not to hurt myself. Okay? So if that means staying in the house locked up,
right,
then that's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know. I don't have any plans right now to try to take a look-see. Like I said, self-preservation for me, buddy. I'm more concerned with not having anything go askew here, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. If you don't have the glasses, don't look at, hey, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for an hour. Remember when Will Ferrell did that as Harry Carey
yes.
on Saturday Night Live?
As Harry Carey, yes.
Yeah, so don't do that. No, and if you don't have those glasses, don't look at that eclipse on Monday, all right?
Good advice, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll be at Progressive Field with my WHBC officially licensed solar eclipse glasses, doing a call-in to the radio station and then watching the Guardians in the home opener. So we'll see if the solar eclipse, hopefully that won't be the biggest story of the year for the Guardians, Reg, like the fight that Jose Ramirez was in last year. But everybody, be safe, be smart out there. Wear your solar eclipse glasses and make sure they are certified. And don't get a pair of binoculars out and look at it like Harry did, all right? All right, Reg, always great to get back together with you. We'll do this again real soon as we'll see if the Cavaliers can right the ship in time for the playoffs, and the NFL draft is just around the corner.